Our gospel lesson for today comes from St. Matthew, chapter 1, and we read from verses 18 through 25. Now, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. This is good news, the gospel of the Lord.
Hey, before I begin preaching today, I want to give you some heads up on the sermon and what I'm going through. Because what happens, it's always a good lead in to see what your pastor's going through, what he's dealing with, and then you can get a deeper perspective of the sermon. Now, as you know, back in August, I had a TIA attack, which is a mini stroke. And then what I had in September is a prophetic word given to me. And then in October was a month of prayer for me in the church, that we made it a deep amount of time of prayer. And so one of the part of the prophetic word was, for me, was to gravitate towards that dream God has given you a long time ago. And I remember thinking, I never ever told anybody about that dream. And that was in 1983 to 84. And basically, I was looking at this going, wow, that's a crazy dream. And it was a powerful dream. But so when I look at the text this morning, it's interesting how the Holy Spirit manifests in your life to what you're dealing with, where certain scripture that you read year after year after year becomes so relevant and so powerful when you're dealing with a certain situation in your life. And so when I'm talking about this restore, God has given me a real new vision. He's kind of said where I used to say, the Lord gave me I'm never going to pastor a mega church, but I will pastor mega things for the kingdom of God. I've been saying that for years. And the Lord has released me from that. And it's about restored in order to restore. And so when I talk about this, I'm going to give you some insight on what's going in my mind and my heart and stuff like that. And then hopefully it resonates with you, because it's really powerful to me. The Word of God is really deep when it comes to vision, when it comes to dreams. So let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for this day. And we just pray, Lord, that you will anoint me with your Spirit. We just thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Have you ever had one of those dreams that are a complete nightmare? That all of a sudden you wake up and you go, dang, that was crazy. And to the point that that dream was so vivid that it affected you physically with your breathing. And all of a sudden the fear that you had in that dream is a fear that you have right now. And what you do is you convince yourself over and over It was just a dream. It's just a dream. It's just a dream. It didn't happen. It didn't happen. Now, there's another thing on the flip side. When you have a fantastic dream and you're enjoying it and life is perfect in that dream, and all of a sudden you wake up, you go, go back to sleep. And you wish you could just restart the dream, right? Because that dream was so awesome that you just go, my goodness. And then you just say, well, that was just a dream. And then you're back to the reality. Now, this is where it gets powerful, where Joseph had this incredible dream from the angel Gabriel that spoke to him. A dream that God has given him to a point when he woke up the dream, it changed his reality. He fulfilled the dream that God is giving him. And even in the circumstances, you have to understand, his circumstances were nuts. Because his doing everything right. Have you ever done everything right and then everything falls apart? He did everything right. And then all of a sudden, Mary became pregnant. Now, back in those days, the only way you can get pregnant, you know how it works. No, you want me to explain it to you? Go over here, I'll explain it to you. And so, therefore, his life just finished. And he was just going to give up Mary. He was going to walk away from it quietly and dismiss her. See, back in that culture, you have to understand that you most likely, when a wife becomes or a fiance becomes pregnant, that you can publicly shame them and that you can have them stoned to death as well in that culture because they got pregnant outside of a marriage. He had all the rights to do that, but he didn't do this. But then he had this incredible dream from God. And he became obedient to that dream. And it changed the entire direction of his life. The same with Mary. She had this dream as well. That all of a sudden you have to understand when we have a dream from God, there's one way to do it. We can say it's just a dream, it's just a dream. And wake up to our own reality. Or we can decide to be obedient to it. And when we're obedient to it, what does that mean? Is that we mean that what we have to act out the vision God has given us, the dream that God has given us. And so Joseph, his life completely changed. In fact, he was transformed. He was restored. And out of that restoration in his life, what happened that he was outwardly, his actions were exhibiting what already was happening inwardly. And so he began to see God in a whole new way. He began to see his dreams in a whole new way. So I wrote this down, and it's on the screen. It says, a dream can open up completely new ways of seeing things and ways that transform us inwardly and outwardly. That is why dreams can be so frightening. We are forced to imagine the implication of acting as if the dream and not current reality is more real. Perhaps that is why the angel Gabriel's first words to both Mary and Joseph were, do not be afraid. Where there is an opportunity for faith, there is always a need for courage. Now, this is fascinating because a lot of us, we expect the fear to go away when the Lord has given us a dream or we have a dream. It could be a dream in their sleep that the Lord gives us, or it could be a dream that the Lord gives us through our vivid and powerful imagination. But to fulfill the dream that God has given us, it has to require courage. See, a lot of us, when we have dreams that we believe God has given us, we try to rethink it through over and over and try to figure this out, try to figure this out, try to figure it out. So hopefully the fear will go away. But when fear goes away, there's no need for courage, is there? Fear is the pure soil for faith to grow, for courage to grow. And so when you have amount of biggest fears in your life that's scared to do something in your life, therefore that requires a huge amount of courage, doesn't it? And by faith. But here's the thing is, dreams come in two different sources. The first source is God, and the second source is our ego. And how do we differentiate the difference between our ego and to God? And I've noticed that sometimes that when God has given me a vision or God has given me a dream and my ego gets involved, then the fear kicks in because I don't want to look like an idiot. I don't want to fail. So therefore, I'll rethink it. I've been thinking of this vision, thinking of the dream year after year after year. Because dreams are great because everything in a dream works out. And I've noticed God's called you and I to be obedient, not successful. Success is overrated. Obedience is totally underrated. Because the success is the world's ways. So when we have a dream from God, that's not measured by the success of the world. It's measured by the obedience and the faith that you and I have and the courage to do it. And so how do we do this? Now for Joseph, we have to ask the question, what is the difference? And so when we look at the dream that Gabriel gave to Joseph, it gives this incredible highlight on how to differentiate. And I'm pronouncing that word very well today. I'm surprised. So I'm going to say this. Now I'm going to screw it up. But it says this in Matthew chapter 1. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And he said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Do you see? To take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are the name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, I think there's a test that I have to put myself through to say, is this dream that I've given up with, is it based on Jesus? Or is it based on my ego? And the thing is, you have to differentiate. See, I'm going to mess it up again. And when I ask some key questions. The first question I have to ask myself is this, and I put it on the screen. If I act on this dream, will it result in more of Christ being delivered in this world or more about me? Now, when I look at Joseph, if I was Joseph, I would go, oh, great. I wake up from this dream. I go, what's in it for me here? Because I'm not looking good in this situation here. Because basically all the men in this society are going to look down on me that I stuck with my wife when all of a sudden I could have had her stoned. And so therefore, it wasn't about him. But what I've learned about the situation is Joseph was used as a tool to bring Jesus into the world. The dreams that God has given you always has to do with bringing Christ into a situation. Christ in your work, Christ in this, justice, the things that is what Christ embraces. It's all about Jesus. And the thing is, it's in the circumstances that we face when we embrace the dream God has given us. It's almost to the circumstances that we're living in that dream is to bring Christ and the redemption into the circumstances that we are looking at, the circumstances that we are living in. And it's not about self-promotion, but it's about the reality of Jesus coming into our situations. Now, here's the second question I have to ask myself. Will the dream result in freedom from the destructive patterns of sin? Or will it bring more destructive to you and those around you? This is where you really can figure this out. Because a month ago, I got some heavy pushback because I was jumping on pastor's kids are messed up. And a pastor was saying, no, this is wrong. He was taking offense to it. And I go, no, I'm not wrong. Pastors' kids are messed up, not due to pastors, but due to the religious system that we have lived with. And so therefore what happens is a lot of pastors, including myself, will have a dream that we believe the Lord has given us. But all of a sudden what happens is we feel that we have to do it in our own strength. And so therefore we become workaholics. We work ourselves hard. And so I even told Jennifer, when was the last time I took 2 weeks off? She said, on our honeymoon. That was 16 years ago. That's a long time ago. Because you become a workaholic. And when you become a workaholic, you become a control freak. because you think the church revolves around you. And so therefore, if you're here 153 services, then man, everything's going to go well. And so what happens, that we are part of a holiness denomination. And a lot of people believe holiness and perfectionism. They have a difficult time figuring that out. And so perfectionism is basically projecting an image that I am the perfect pastor, that I have everything together, and I'm this perfect guy. It takes a lot of energy to project that. And so therefore, if you're having marital problems or situations, and you just go, hey, praise the Lord, hallelujah, he's risen. Because basically you hold on to a vision that you believe God has given you, that all of a sudden you have to act as perfected, so therefore God can use that. And that's one of the lies that a lot of us have. And so we do more damage to our children, we do more damage to our family, we do more damage to our marriages, because we strive for this. And so therefore we can't conform to this pattern anymore. And so what's amazing, you know, I do the Hump Day podcast. I love doing that. I don't care if anyone's listening, but a lot of people do listen. I don't care, you do it. But Jacob, if you look on the screen, his story is incredible. And it was a fun interview to do. He's just a young version of me. But yeah, he grew up in a church that his dad was one of the pastoral leaderships in the church. But his dad was a raging alcoholic. But he pretended he had it all together. And so he grew up with this hypocrisy within the church because his dad was projecting an image. So therefore he shares about losing respect for his dad. He lost his marriage. He lost his ministry. But somehow at the end of the interview, you would see the restoration with his dad came complete. He's getting engaged. He got engaged in November. He's being married in May. And his ministry is totally restored because he decided to live an authentic life. It's a funny interview. It really is a good interview. But what I'm saying here is that when with restoration, when we become restored, it's not about just our lifestyle, but the restoration part is a dream that God has given you. Most of us, God has made it clear to me that I've asked him, why isn't the church growing? Why are we plateaued? Why am I killing myself working and trying to build a church? And the Lord has made it clear, my people have given up on their dreams that I've given them. See, the problem is the Lord has given you a dream. He's given you a vision. And you and I have given up on that because it takes time. But let me make it clear. Your dream, your vision, is your life. It's who you are. So when you put your dream to the side that God has given you, you're putting you to the side. And you're just surviving. And all of a sudden, you're not going to find fulfillment in anything you do until you grab that dream again. That's the same thing with me. My dream has to do with ministry. And sometimes I go, I'm 54 years old. That dream was when I was 21. I had a lot more energy then. I was a lot younger and naive and stupid. And now I've become more intelligent. And the more intelligent you become, the less risk you do. Because you overthink things. And so you don't dream again. My uncle, right now, to me, is the dumbest man on the planet. Why? His wife left him. Wife left him 13 years ago because of death. She died. He told me yesterday, I've been waiting for the rapture to come every single day because I don't want to leave. Now, what's amazing about this, he contacted a woman that he knew years ago, contacted him, and within a month, through phone calls, he just says, you want to get married? And she flew out from Scotland and got married last Saturday, and they're moving back to Scotland. He's in love. His children are acting like the parents are going, what are you thinking? But he goes, you know what? my wife, it was 60 years ago this month, I kissed her for the very first time. She was my first girlfriend. See, in order to risk, you can embrace that love again, even in your mid-70s, because we're in a survival. I'm saying premarital counseling. He goes, I'm too old for that. I'll be dead. Do you know what I mean? At that age, you don't have time, right? You just do it. You just go for it. And if you think about it, we don't either. There's no time guaranteed. And so follow me on this. Notice what the angel Gabriel says to Joseph. He says in Matthew 1, she will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The dream that God has given you will always bring salvation in the midst of destruction. You look at a world that we're dealing with right now, how destructive it can be. Your dream that God has given you always will bring salvation in that destructiveness. Always will bring hope and redemption and justice in that. God has given you a dream. God has given me a dream. And so this is what is fascinating to me, that when we understand when he brings salvation in the midst of destruction, therefore that is restored in order to restore. Do you see? That's how we embrace it. And so when we on the beginning of restoration, whether it's in marriages or relationships, then the compassion to see upon others that we normally would not have compassion for. And we just say, I'm in the midst of restoration. I don't see you up. I don't look down upon you. We're in the same boat and we're trying to get up here. We're trying to find fulfillment. We're trying to find happiness. We're all trying to find joy. This is what our life is. None of us are called. None of us chose and said, God, I want to be on earth. We just popped out. And so therefore, we're all trying to figure out life. And this is where God has made it clear to me that all of us have having dreams that we've given up on. And that he wants to empower you, and he wants to empower me to fulfill these dreams. And so when we look at the Matthew 25, it talks about salvation. But this is a scripture that I looked at that I was very scared to death of, because I looked at it as a literally. But this scripture wasn't meant to be literal. It meant to be a picture language about what it means to be saved. It says this: when the Son of Man comes to his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as shepherds separate the sheep and the goats. And he will put on the sheep at the right hand and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you as a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick in the prison and visited you? Then the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it unto one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it unto me. Now this scripture is confusing to a lot of people, because they look at the scripture as you have to earn your salvation. You have to feed the hungry. You have to go visit the people in prison in order to gain the salvation. But we don't earn our salvation. Our salvation is a gift. It's we are saved by grace. So follow me on here. Matthew is sharing a picture of what looks like when people have been saved from their sins. Those who have been saved from their sins by Jesus are the sheep in this picture. They are the ones who have been given, get this, a dream of restoration. And they believe the dream. As a result, they played their part of making Christ real in this world. All that scripture talks about is people fulfilling the dreams that God has given them. And so therefore, that's how they fulfill the dreams. See, again, we're saved by faith. And when we're saved by grace, therefore, he empowers us with his dream. When God has given you a dream, he has to empower it. That's why you have to do those two questions. And so the Apostle Paul talks about this when he talks about fulfilling a dream. Now, when you look at the scripture, when it comes to the dream, then you'll get it. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not by your own doing. It is a gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created us in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. When we begin to trust him, when we begin to follow him, he gives us an example on what life looks like when it's fully restored and what my life looks like when it's fully healed. See, when you look at the Sermon on the Mount, and I'm telling you, it changes your perspective. He breaks down the Sermon on the Mount, and basically how I look at it is he has a canvas that's called dreams. And he has all these canvases, and he says, that's yours, paint it. And here's the guidelines to your dreams. And so follow me on this. Blessed are the merciful is the canvas. You paint it, whatever that dream is. Blessed are the peacemakers. Do we need peacemakers within our United States that we live in? Absolutely. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others so that they may see the good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That's a dream. You cannot serve God in wealth, but strive first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be given to you as well. And everything you do, others, do to others as you would want them to do to you. That is a dream. And so therefore, how that dream is fulfilled, it's up to you. Look on the screen. When we read these words of Jesus, it can seem a lot more like a dream than reality. Joseph believed the dream that God gave him and acted on it. God has also given us a dream and these words of Jesus. Will we trust more in our present reality or in the dream? If we begin to believe the dream, it will change everything about us. Martin Luther King made it clear, I have a dream. That was a dream that he was given by God. And he had the courage. The fear was there, but he had the courage to follow that dream until it took his life. But till this day, he's changing the world from years ago. God has given you a dream. God has given me a dream. The Sermon on the Mount, he describes a dream. He says, everyone who hears these words, now find this. This is another deep thing. Words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. That's the dream. Listen to his words. Then the rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house. That's what happened. That's called life, guys. But it did not fall, the dream, because it had been founded on what? The rock. That is a rock. So, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them to fulfill the dream will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. I'm just going to live with mediocrity. I'm just going to put up with this. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew up and beat against the house and it fell. And the great wall, it has fallen. This is where the Lord has been very powerful in anointing in my life in the last 2 weeks. Because he's told your pastor that you got to go for this through a prophetic word. See, God, if you look on the screen, God has given us a dream to the words of Jesus, The dream plays out in each of our lives in different ways. What dream has God given you? The question is, do you believe the dream is more real than what happens to appear to be your real circumstances? And will you begin to act upon it? Now, this is something that I haven't done, but I'm taking time off. I'm going to be gone for 3 weeks because I got to pray for courage. I'm done with praying for the fear to go away. It ain't going away. I got to pray for the courage to fulfill the dream that God has given me 35 years ago. When I come back on the 7th, I will let you in on where the Lord's taken us as a church and as a pastor. The month of January is going to be a setup time to how we're going to do this, how we're going to work on. The beginning of February will be the platform. Platform means where we're going to jump and when we're going to jump. And we're not going to think this through. We're just going to jump. Okay? March, there will be changes that will bring the body closer together. Easter is late this year. My prayer and God's anointing on me is He's challenging us as a church, let me speak prophetic, for us to embrace our dreams and not live in fear and get the balls to do it, or courage, whatever you prefer. Because on resurrection, when your dreams are being fulfilled and you're doing your dreams, that's the future of this church. This is why we've plateaued. This is why we're not growing. Because all of us are living in fear. And we just settled. And so therefore, we're not fulfilled. We're not fulfilled in church. We're not fulfilled in life. We're just periodically going to be here and stuff like this. I want to see miracles. I expect miracles. This is a huge risk for me. Because I'm giving up everything that has been stable for me in the 30 years. To really take a step of faith to say, you know what? If I fail in this church, yeah, I can look back and I said, man, I gave it my all. And I took risks that I believe God wants me to do. Living by faith, there's no guarantees. But man, I don't want to look back at my life and go, I had a dream 70 years ago that I should have done. You too. Live the dream, what God has called you to be. If you look at your connection card, I'm sorry, I'm just drained. Lord, help me believe the dream. You have given me to act on it. Help me to move past my fear and begin to act in faith. When I come back on the 7th, I will come back running. And I'll land, and I pray that I am going to be just as dumb as my uncle. Where all of a sudden I'm going to embrace the love of God. And that I can have the joy, that we all can have the joy to what God has intended us to have. May God bless you, and may God bless His word.